Hey, welcome to Following the Truth. I can't believe it. I have to this is Gary Zimak, by the way. Just prior to getting this, to recording this program, I realized something. I can't believe I did this. But yesterday's show, in case you were looking for it, I forgot to load up yesterday's show. So it's unbelievable. You could tell I'm out of practice. I am going to, when I load this show up, I'm going to make sure I load it up so it is available. So I apologize for doing that. I recorded it yesterday, but it doesn't do a lot of good if I don't load it up so the system can publish it. I am sorry about that. But anyway, you see what happens when I take a few days off. I am pleased to be back here with you. Wow, that's amazing. Good thing I recognized it. So you're probably wondering where I've been, but if you want to know where I've been, you can listen to yesterday's show. But I'm fine. I had a great New Year's, and I hope you did as well. Hey, today on the show, we're going to talk about something that I really think we need to understand. It's something that we know, but often we downplay this idea. It's the concept that Jesus had emotions. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, had emotions in his humanity. He had emotions, so he could feel things just as we can feel things. He could feel sadness. He could feel happiness. Today in the gospel passage that I'll read, and this is the gospel from the today's daily mass, something really struck me, and it was the idea that Jesus had pity for the crowd, or had pity on the crowd. His heart was moved with pity, as Mark tells us. I think that is such a great message. And I wanted to just spend a little time exploring that today, because there is a very good chance you or somebody you know is struggling with something right now. You might be going through something and you might feel all alone. You might feel discouraged. You might feel as if nobody cares. And we spend a lot of time on this program talking about the power of Jesus and how he's no match for any problem. Any problem is no match for him, I should say. He's bigger than any problem we could ever face. He's all-powerful. We know that. We get that. But I think, and of course we know that Jesus cares about us too, but I think it's important to discuss the fact that he has pity on us, that he feels bad for us, that when we are sad, that he feels sad. You need to know that today. And I'm going to point to an event that happened with Lazarus. And when Lazarus died, we all know Jesus cried. Well, why was he crying? Let's discuss this. Let's talk about it today. And I want you to know something. When you're sad, Jesus is sad. And I think we need to just spend some time thinking about that today. And when we do, we start to get an idea of how compassionate he is, and it makes him even more human to us. He's already fully human, but he needs to become human to us, and I think that's what that does. So if you're struggling, if you know somebody who is struggling, or even if you're not struggling at the moment, this is a good thing to think about, to ponder. Why? Because one day you are going to be in a situation where you are struggling, where you are going through something, and it could be very difficult. But if you understand the idea that Jesus cares about you, then you will begin to realize just how powerful the love of Jesus is, and it's going to bring you a heck of a lot of comfort. Anyway, I'm glad you're here for the program. I hope you can stick around for the entire show. Got a nice big tall glass of water with me. I'm going to take a sip. Right now, I hope you brought a beverage, a snack, or whatever you want. Take your shoes off if you want. However you plan to relax, whatever makes you feel best. There's room at the table. You know, you are welcome to be comfortable here. We're going to talk about Jesus and how he cares for each of us today. Let's see if there's any news. Yesterday on the program, I did mention, and when I get the show loaded up, you're going to hear that I really could use some additional financial support with my ministry. As we turn the corner into a new year, it's looking at on the horizon. There's not a lot of speaking work out there, just about nothing. that has really started up. So in order to keep this show going in my daily email reflection, I'm going to turn to you and ask you, if you are able to become a monthly sponsor of my ministry, I would greatly appreciate it if you could do that. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. I don't want to say a lot more because I mentioned it on the show yesterday. I'll just say now, if you're able to do it, you know, $10 a month would be huge for me right now in order to keep me going, to sustain me so I can move forward with this ministry. Followingthetruth.com is the place. You know, maybe you've been thinking about doing it and you've been putting it off. If you have been and you're able to do it and you really find my work of value, if you're able to do that, I would greatly appreciate it. And now is the time to do it. Followingthetruth.com. Thank you. And, you know, I hate to talk about this. I don't like to talk about money, but you've been so generous to me in the past. Between your emails and your contributions and your prayers, I'm grateful. And I know that I can turn to you as a friend and ask you to help me out and to sustain my ministry so I can go forward and keep providing this daily podcast, as well as the daily email reflection. So if you would consider going to followingthetruth.com and making a donation, I would be so grateful. And you can do that securely just by clicking on donate from followingthetruth.com. Okay, let's pray. Let's turn. Thank you. Thank you for indulging me with that. Let's turn to our Father in heaven who, you know, Jesus loves us, no doubt about that. He went to the cross for us. He suffered tremendously. And we're going to see in today's gospel how he pities us. He feels bad when we are struggling. But in addition, we have a Father in heaven who sent his Son. He sent his Son into the world who saved us from our sins. And our Father in heaven also created us for no other reason but for the fact that he loved us. And he wanted us to share in his joy and share in a relationship with him. So we got a Father in heaven who loves us tremendously. Why don't we turn to him now and ask for his help, for our needs? And I'm going to ask him for a special outpouring of the Spirit too, so I know what it is that I'm supposed to say on the show. And I would consider it an honor and a privilege if you would pray with me. Okay, would you do that now? Please join me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the ability to address you in prayer, Father. Even though you are almighty, and you are all-powerful, you are the God of the universe. You've created the entire world, the entire universe, out of nothing. Even though you are really important, you always make time for us. So, Father, we are able to come to you in prayer right now. And we place ourselves in your presence. We recognize your power. We recognize your might. We recognize that you are hearing these words that I am speaking. We recognize that you love us with an unconditional love, not for anything we do, but just for who we are. And Father, we recognize that you enjoy when we turn to you in prayer, when we ask you for what we need, because you want us to depend on you. So with that in mind, Father, we lift up our intentions. We lift up our family members, our friends. We lift up those who have asked for our prayers. We lift up all who are hurting or suffering in any way today. We lift up those who don't know you. We lift up those who are struggling with anxiety or depression or discouragement this day. And we ask you, Father, to bless them, to protect them, to provide for their needs, to answer their prayers, and to draw them closer to you. In addition, Father, I ask you to give me the words, send your Spirit out upon me to give me the words so that I can speak the message and deliver the message that you have for us today. And Father, please open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to your message. And I ask these things in the most holy and powerful name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for praying. My name is Gary Zimek. You can find out more about me, by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. Going to be lots of cool things going on this year. Now, okay, today's January the 5th, right? It's Tuesday. Ash Wednesday. Oh my gosh, he's talking about Ash Wednesday. I can't believe it. We're still in the Christmas season. But wait, hold on. I want to remind you of something. Ash Wednesday is February the 17th. Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. We're a little over a month away from Lent. But the reason, I know, I'm sorry, but look, the reason I tell you that is because this year, once again, the Give Up Worry for Lent movement is going to be taking place. We're going to get it started up again this year for the third year in a row. These shows will be dedicated to it. But the reason I really want you to tell this to you is because Give Up Worry for Lent, my book, has sold out for the past 2 years. If you want to make sure you get your copy now, it is available. You can get it. You can get it from Ave Maria Press. You can get it from Amazon. You can go to my website, which will link you to Amazon as well. But now is the time to get the book because it does have this tendency to sell out, which is, you know, a good problem to have. It's good and bad. I'm happy that there's that much interest in the book. But the bad thing is that people who want the book struggle to get it. So if you would like to get yourself a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, now is the time to do it. Either go to Amazon or followingthetruth.com or AveMariaPress.com and make sure you get yourself a copy and get ready because we are once again going to Give Up Worry for Lent. Stay tuned for more information and I'll keep you posted as we get closer. So on today's show, I said I want to talk about the emotions of Jesus. And, you know, we have this tendency to focus on the power or the divinity of Jesus. Good thing. It's a good thing. And we should. We should realize who he is and how powerful he is. Because you want somebody like that in your corner. But at the same time, you want to also recognize just how human he is. Now, we might think this. We might think, well, Jesus told us not to worry. And when his apostles were freaking out in the boat during the storm at sea, remember they're on the Sea of Galilee, they're beside themselves because the storm is blowing, the boat is filling up with water. And Jesus wakes up. They wake him up from his nap, and he wakes up and calms the storm. Everything settles down, and Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Where is your faith?" And you wonder sometimes. You think, well, wait a minute. Wait, was he getting angry at them? Was he criticizing them? Was he looking down on them? But here's a whole different way to look at it. When we read this gospel today, and we look at the compassion that Jesus has for his followers, yeah, he doesn't want us to worry. There is really no need for us to worry. But he also gets the fact that we do. And rather than just shut us out and not be able to understand and look at us in disbelief and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you worrying? I say that today we look at that compassion, that man who has pity on us and recognize that he understands. He understands that we mess up sometimes and he still feels bad for us. So if you're struggling with some sin, if you're struggling to overcome worry, if you're just in general upset and discouraged and feeling hopeless, I want you to understand something. Jesus loves you, and he really cares about the fact that you're suffering. And you might not be able to get it all together for a long time. You know, this breaking free from worry and experiencing the Lord's peace, sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. So today, I want you to picture him holding your hand, putting his arm around your shoulder and just saying, it's all right, we'll work on it. And I think that's the message I'm feeling today. I think the message the Holy Spirit is giving me today is Jesus saying to you, we're going to work on this. Just try, okay? We'll get through this. Might not happen today, but I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I care about you. And the reason I tell you not to worry is because I don't want you to suffer. I'm not going to say, how come you're worrying? I'm mad at you. No, Jesus is going to say, let's work on this, okay? Because I don't want you to have to go through this. And don't you admit that's a whole different way to look at things? And that's what I want you to get out of today's show. And if you slip up, if you're still worried about things, if you're not trusting Jesus as much as you should, he feels sorry for you, and he wants to work with you on it. He's not casting you aside saying, and I'm sure you've run into people like this who said, I've told you before, you don't need to worry about this. Don't come to me again. He's not going to do that to you. He understands. But we just should keep working on it and keep getting closer to him and let him work in our lives. That's the secret, okay? The gospel from today's daily mass is from Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. Now, the point I want to make is a very small point in this bigger picture of the gospel. This gospel has to do with Jesus feeding the hungry people, the 5,000 people who are hungry. But there is a point in the beginning of this when Jesus has pity on the crowd. That's going to be my point of departure on the program. But let me read the whole thing because there's some other lessons we can learn. Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. When Jesus saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Okay, so you see what happens? The people are lost. They're looking for somebody to reach out to them, to teach them, to lead them. And it's not happening. So Jesus feels bad for them. And he doesn't just say, oh, that's a real shame. I hope they get some good teachers. No, he takes matters into his own hand. And I think that's what I want you to understand today. That when you're worried about something, when you're unable to sleep at night, Jesus just doesn't say to you, hey, I hope you don't, you better stop worrying. It's not good for you. You better get some sleep. No. He sits with you. He says, all right, you just lay here. Let me be with you here. And he comforts you. And he holds your hand, puts his hand around your arm around your shoulder, however you want to look at it. He doesn't just say, you really need to stop this. It's no good for you. He says, follow me, come to me. We're going to get through this together. That's who Jesus is, and that's what he does. So Jesus felt sorry for the people, and you know, it just doesn't stop there. He doesn't just feel bad for them and do nothing. He does something. He gets his hands dirty. He gets involved. By now it was already late, and the disciples approached him and said, this is a deserted place, and it's already very late. Dismiss them so they can go to the surrounding farms and villages and buy themselves something to eat. I love this story because this is the disciples, the apostles, they're called the disciples at this point in time, not understanding just how powerful Jesus is. And you know, don't you think that part of our worrying, part of our lack of peace, part of our viewing our problems as hopeless has to do with us underestimating Jesus, how much he cares, and how involved he wants to be in our lives? I think it does. And that's what these guys are doing. They're saying there's so many people here. How are we ever going to feed all these people? And by some estimates, it doesn't say it specifically here in this. Let me just make sure. It doesn't say it in this particular excerpt from the gospel. Oh, yeah, it does at the very end. There were 5,000 men. And by some estimates, there were at least logically as many women, because most, if not all, of the men would have brought their wives with them. And then there were children. So many estimate 12,000 people are fed on 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is the Jesus who loves you, wants to walk with you, and who wants to be your friend. The apostles, and they're still relatively early in their walk with the Lord, they don't fully understand what he can do in their lives, like how he could have handled this. They never asked him, to feed the people. Lord, you could do a miracle. Can you just feed the people? No. They just said, send them away. And I think so many times we do the same thing. Rather than ask Jesus to get involved in our problems, we just either worry or try to handle everything by ourselves. Let that be a lesson to you today. He wants to help you. He cares. He wants to get involved. But you know, note that Jesus said to them, after he said, send them away, Jesus said, no, you give them some food yourselves. But they said to him, are we to buy 200 days wages worth of food and give it to them to eat? So again, they're thinking in purely human terms. They never thought that once Jesus said, you give them something to eat, to turn to him and say, we don't have enough, right? Lord, please multiply what we have, and then we can give the people something to eat. In other words, they were trying to take this on themselves, thinking that, well, we're just going to have to buy more food. And then Jesus said to them, he asked them a question, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. So he gave orders to have them sit down in groups on the green grass. The people took their places in rows by hundreds and by fifties. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Then they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 wicker baskets full of fragments and what was left of the fish. Those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men. So again, all the people were fed, and Jesus did the miracle. He multiplied what they had, and he let the apostles feed the people. So in a sense, they did feed the people, which is exactly what he said. But he had to lead them through the whole process of asking him for help. In other words, you guys, tell me what you got. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Okay, give them to me, and I'm going to multiply them. And then I'll be able to feed all the people. Now, there's a lot of symbolism in here. Obviously, you look at this, and the mass is very much illustrated through this process. Jesus takes the bread, he multiplies it, performs the miracle, and then distributes it to the people. That is certainly a valid symbolism that you can't miss in this gospel passage. But on a very basic level, this reminds us that if Jesus asks us to do anything, lead a holy life, do what we feel might be impossible, get by on what we feel is not enough money or something because we just can't earn any more money or whatever, we got to remember he wants to help us. He's not going to ask us to do something that he doesn't give us the power or the ability to do. What if you lose your job suddenly and you think, I'll never survive? Well, yes, you will survive, because he wouldn't have let it happen if not. But what he wants you to do is turn to him and ask for help. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you have to go through chemo and you say, I just can't do it, I don't have the energy. Well, he's letting it happen. Are you turning to him? Are you asking for help? And look, we all forget this. We all forget this. But remember, he pities us when we panic, when we worry, when we have sleepless nights. He's not going to say, you didn't ask me the first time, I'm not going to help you now. He doesn't operate like that because he loves us too much. And when I hear this, when I hear about his emotions, I think back to the story of Lazarus. And if you haven't read it lately, John chapter 11, most of the chapter is all about Lazarus. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. He had sisters, Martha and Mary. And they sent word to Jesus that your friend Lazarus was sick. Jesus delays specifically. It's a great story. And he lets Lazarus die, because he knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. He didn't want to just heal him. He wanted to take it to the next level and raise Lazarus from the dead, which is a great example, a great witness to the people. He wanted to really knock their socks off with this. So by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus is dead. He's in the tomb. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus is told, what happens is Lazarus' sister, Mary, is distraught by this point, and she's crying. And when Jesus saw Mary, and I'm looking for the exact, passage. Oh, this is John chapter 11, verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And then he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Now, Jesus wasn't weeping because Lazarus died and he forgot that he knew how to raise him from the dead. He knew what he was going to do. But he was weeping because he pitied the people. He felt bad for Mary and everybody else crying. And he had compassion. And what I would say today is, I want you to, and then he raised Lazarus from the dead. But I think the point for us to remember is that when you're crying, he's crying too. And I want you to just hold that thought today. Picture it if you're shedding tears. I want you to picture Jesus next to you shedding tears for you. Even if he knows what he's going to do, even if he knows that he can fix your problem and that you can experience peace, but for some reason you're not seeing it, he's still going to be crying for you because he doesn't want you to suffer. Picture that Jesus today. Will you do that? And I think it's going to transform the way you look at your relationship with the Lord. All right, I just about have to run. So again, I apologize for that glitch with yesterday's show. It will be available as well as this show. Please, if you're able to help me out financially so I can continue going on with my ministry, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Click on donate and you will be all set. I hope you have a fantastic night. And again, thank you for all of your support. Hope you have a fantastic night. And God willing, I'm going to be able to see you tomorrow on the show. I hope you'll join me for another episode of Following the Truth. God bless you. Talk to you next time.